Canucks Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio, still trying to come down from the Canucks' incredible comeback against the Nashville Predators to seal a two-win trip to Smashville.
What a win, man. Honestly, what a win.
How quickly the vibes can change.
In a heartbeat, man.
It was crazy. Just the entire sequence was bonkers.
Yeah.
Especially with where the Canucks were for most of that third period, and then to turn it around in a flash. So many good things that came out of it, and now they come back home with a chance to take the series over the Nashville Predators. We'll get to that in a lot more over the course of the program. Hal Gill is going to join us, Preds analyst. Also, Don Taylor will join us after 5 o'clock. Canuck Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. I kind of wanted to rank the things on the tying goal, like which ones, like from best to worst. From best to like least best.
Least
I don't know.
Best, like
all of the great things that the Canucks did on the one shift, from Zadorov's box out, Pettersson's little hesitation at the point, Miller's slap pass, the way Besser corralled it, knew he had enough time to stuff it into the net, and of course Quinn Hughes on the wall.
And not to mention even some of the other good work along the boards too, yeah, from Canuck players, right? I mean, so it's one of those things where honestly, every single player on the ice did something right, and yes, it was a complete contrast to the previous 57 minutes of this game.
And a complete contrast to the Preds who were just throwing themselves at the puck.
Oh, man, yeah. The panic, you could see it in rewatching the game, the panic in the Preds' eyes. Man, tough.
Yes, the panic is real.
Just absolutely crapping their pants.
They were just so sound for so much of that game, and then it just all went away in those final minutes. Canucks get a win. Smash and grab. They stole it. We'll talk about it. It's the Open here on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
So there's a few things I think about with the game yesterday, and the term stole is one that came up quite a bit. And I agree, the Preds overall were the better team. But to borrow something from you, Sat, two things can be true at the same time. Like, I don't think the Canucks were the better team against the Nashville Predators, but I don't think they were as bad as the narrative seemed to be heading towards until the great turnaround at the end.
So I think they were poor through the neutral zone and trying to generate offense,
yeah,
and getting sustained pressure. Defensively, they were fine.
They've been comfortable all series defensively.
Defending, they've been fine. They're losing battles along the walls more than they should. They're not getting in on the forecheck. And I thought, you know, they're not to say they're a passenger, so to speak, but guys couldn't impose their will on the game for the most, yeah, part last night. And we know who we're talking about here. Number 40 is the guy who's chief amongst them. And up until Quinn Hughes, you know, put Gustav Nyquist on a sled and ushered him out of the ice, I mean, he was having a tough night. Now, obviously, yeah, he's being targeted by the Preds, like they're going after him heavily. Yeah.
Their game plan is like make it hurt.
But I mean, Quinn was misfiring passes on the Jankowski goal. It's him mishandling a pass. First of, mm-hmm, all, bobbles a pass from Elias Pettersson at the blue line, and then he turns it over, which leads to the pressure and ultimately the goal. Now Pettersson doesn't help him matters on that play.
No.
I think Hronek also, and I think Brett Festerling did a great job of saying there has to be communication there between Pettersson and Hronek, where, you know, Pettersson's the first guy going in. Hronek also kind of, you know, stumbles too at the blue line a little bit. And next thing you know, you're kind of behind on the play. And those are the types of things that you can probably figure out if you communicate better. But outside of, yeah, that, I mean, the Canucks defensively, they gave up what? Like less than a handful of quality scoring chances again?
Yeah.
Like, how many great saves did Shilovs have to make?
Not a ton.
There was a Carrier one where he cut in, he activated, and he came in on a half
came
break.
Down on the weak side, and
Ryan O'Reilly whiffed on a pass across, which had a open net, so it wasn't a save, so that's a grade A chance. But everything else, like, I'm not sure they had a ton of quality looks, so to speak.
They had a lot of zone time, they had a lot of possession, they got a number of shots on goal. I don't think they did a lot with it. Like, I don't think they did as much as you would hope to do. They didn't generate as many grade A chances as you would hope to with the amount of possession that they had.
No.
And that, again, is a testament to how well the Canucks continue to play defensively.
Well, and the mistakes, the chances they've given up have come off of mistakes, too. It's either, the Nyquist goal happens after the Canucks couldn't get pressure. They had a great chance on Pew Suter. The game opened up a little bit.
But they tried to take a chance going the other way, showed a little bit of ambition.
Yeah.
You know, Cole jumps into the play. He ends up getting caught, but I don't know. It didn't seem like a bad read from Ian Cole in the moment.
No, and I thought the Canucks, the way they defended it, they took away the cross pass too. So it was just a shot. And obviously Nyquist had, great shot, picks his corner and beats Shilovs.
Yeah. Zadorov defends it exactly how I think the Canucks want you to. It's like, take away the pass, let the goalie have the shot.
Yeah, and it's kind of have the half the net. Yeah. And he beats him short side. It's a great shot, right? And, sometimes goalies are like, hey, you wish you could have that. I'm not sure you would view that mm-hmm. one that way from Shilovs, but it's a good shot by Nyquist, right? And then we mentioned the Jankowski goal, and then the third goal happens. It's 4-on-4 at the beginning of the third period. Sorry, this is where Hronek falls over. He falls over at the blue line, and then that creates a space, and next thing you know, Forsberg's all alone. The puck comes across. A bit of bad luck, maybe a little bit, because if Hronek doesn't stumble at the blue line there, does that play even open up? But those plays happen off of mistakes. We mentioned the Jankowski one. Hughes turns it over, right? They get caught up ice on the Nyquist goal, and the third one being the one they scored right at the start of the third period, where Hronek falls over.
Yeah.
So those three mistakes led to goals. But in terms of the Preds breaking the Canucks down, getting into the inside and getting a ton of looks and making life difficult for Artur Shilovs, that wasn't the case last night.
It's just not happening.
No, but that doesn't mean the Canucks were the better team. They weren't. Yeah. Like, they won the game, but the Preds were the better team. But when you rewatch the game, I do agree with you. Their defensive zone coverage, like, that's been the foundation of the series. As bad as they've been in some games, at no point is that defensive structure falling apart for them.
They've been really good on one side of the puck, and they've left a lot to be desired on the other side of the puck.
Yeah.
Even though, they've still managed to take three of the four games to this point. And, I think in game two, you could say they didn't seize the moment. In games three and four, they absolutely seized the moments that were there for them. The power plays, they took advantage of those in game three. It won them the game. Yesterday, they get an icing call, even though Nashville is controlling most of the play. There's an icing call and a perfect execution on a playoff on a face-off set play ends up in them just absolutely cutting Nashville into pieces and getting a guaranteed goal for Brock Besser. We haven't seen Nashville break down the Canucks in a similar way to what the Canucks showed on that first Brock Besser goal of the night when they opened them up off the face-off set play. That's the kind of thing you'd like to see more of from the Canucks, because those opportunities are there for them. Because Nashville gives them to you. They're not the best defensive team. Their defense is, we need to put as much pressure on our opponents as possible and hope not to get caught going one way by them turning it up the other way quickly. And the Canucks just simply haven't done that. They haven't broken out of their own zone well enough. They haven't connected play in the neutral zone well enough. They haven't taken the space that Nashville usually gives you because of how ultra aggressive they are by playing on that forecheck and trying to be on the front foot so often.
Well, and I think the big part of it too, you're right, is the pressure that Nashville has is employing, right? They send a lot of guys at Canucks players. And right now, most Canucks players or forwards at the very least and defensemen are having a hard time beating that press.
Yeah.
But you beat that press, you are going to get some opportunities. And that's something the coach spoke about today. He said, guys, just, they need to calm down. They need to just make some plays here, right? That don't get deer in headlights because of the pressure. They're paralyzed by the pressure is kind of what the coach mentioned.
Essentially, just make quicker decisions.
Yeah. And if you do, like, there are plays to make. I mean, watching them, especially watching game two, where the Canucks had a hard time generating enough looks too at Rogers Arena, and you kind of saw it, from up top, getting the full view of the 200-foot sheet of ice, was if the Canucks make that one play and get past this pressure, do they have a lot of open ice? There's a lot of real estate to be had here if they can just get through that initial wave. And they just haven't been able to do that yet. I think the JT line's done a good job of that, right? Because you saw Suter's done a really good job of pressuring. And if you pressure their guys too, you can create some turnovers. Now the break he gets is kind of McDonough bobbling the puck at the blue line. He takes advantage of it and presses forward. But there is a lot more the Canucks can do. And if they do get set into the offense zone and create a little bit of puck pressure, I do think they can pick apart Nashville with their seam passes. That's a set play. But there is a template of you get the puck moving with how much they front. You can cut through them, and that's something that the Canucks can take advantage of more if they can sustain some more pressure up front.
A couple of texts coming in as we speak. Got to change the lines is one of these texts. This one from Tony and Van. Cugi and Satello. I think that's you.
Oh, I get an Italian nickname.
You get an Italian Satello. Nickname from Tony and Van. I think we need to put our boy PDG on PD's wing, maybe give him a spro or two, all jokes aside, end the series in five and get reset for round two. So I'm not sure. So even listening to talk today, he's kind of, not that he's saying he needs more out of Pettersson. He's not saying that, but he's saying it without saying it in some ways. Maybe I'm reading into that, but I'm reading between the lines and that's what I'm hearing. You know, he, at one point he's asked about, you know, where do you need more from, or essentially along those lines. And he says, well, we're getting a lot out of the Miller line. Lindholm line's been good, you know, in tough matchups. Even Blücher's line, they've had some good moments. But you know, and PD's line's just been okay. They're coming, you know, I think they're coming. Boy, which is essentially saying, yeah, that's kind of the line I need more out of.
Yeah, but he also mentioned yesterday that he thinks they're going to have a big game.
Yes.
Now, Pettersson got an assist, on the game-tying goal. So, you know, it depends on how you view it. But he said Hoglander and Pettersson together would have a better game. And I'm not sure that was the case last night for them. And that's something that has to get going. I mean, there's no hiding from it. There's no denying it. They need Elias Pettersson to be better. The coach, I think, learned from, not a lesson, but he understood what happens when you answer directly about certain players and you're critical about them directly. It can create a firestorm. We saw that around Pettersson last time. So I'm with you. I think a lot of the criticism directed at Pettersson, or if he's talking about Pettersson, is going to be indirect. Yeah, I don't know if he's alone, because I think Hoglander fits it too. And I thought last night, the Lindholm line, they struggled up until they scored that goal in overtime. The coach went away from it too in the third period, right?
Even in game three, you know, I know Tocchet shouted out Lindholm specifically as a bright spot of game three, but you know, they didn't generate any sort of offensive push. They defended well, but you know, the team has defended well. They haven't gotten a lot out of the Lindholm line until overtime yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, as good as Garland was in game one and Joshua was in game one, we haven't seen them really put their mark on the series.
But at least
again,
they've had a game. Pettersson hasn't even had anything.
I don't disagree. But in terms of like where guys are right now, like Garland, we know, is a guy who's a thorn in the opposition side. We saw it in game one. Haven't quite seen it. You know, these past couple games in Nashville, they need to get that going. But the big one is number 40. It's him. 100%. It's him, right? I just don't know what else we can add, right? Yeah. Like, do you get to a point, though, where you're like, is it going to happen for him in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I have belief in the player long term. In the moment,
yeah.
Is it going to turn? Is it as simple as get a goal and the next thing you know, he's going to get red hot? Maybe the fact that you're up 3-1 against Nashville, and if you take care of business, buys you some more time for that to happen. But I just, you know, like I mentioned last week, like I'm done predicting Elias Pettersson's arrival, especially in the postseason right now. And I hope he finds his game, because if he does, well, then all of a sudden you're cooking with gasoline here, right? Because you have the Miller line going, you can get something out of Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua. And if Pettersson finds his form, well, I don't think this team is going to have many offensive issues.
It hasn't been a problem in this series. You know, the Canucks have taken a 3-1 series lead without really putting together a long stretch of their best hockey. I still look at after they took the lead, or while they took the lead in game one, and then what they did after that as probably their best stretch of the series. Beyond that, you know, they haven't really had a ton of those moments. They haven't had a ton of those stretches even against Nashville.
No.
And how are you going to get more of that is ultimately the question, but it's now a bigger picture question with somewhat like, hey, we can beat Nashville the way we're playing right now. Maybe we're going to need a little bit more to get them out, because now desperation certainly becomes a factor.
I was going
to
say, like, the Canucks now have to start playing their best hockey.
Yeah.
You're in a golden spot, right? You're up 3-1 now. You won a game you probably didn't deserve to win, but deserve doesn't matter in the playoffs.
Deserve to win a meter, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter in the playoffs. Yeah. It's whoever gets the win, and that's the only thing that matters, right? But you're up 3-1. Play your best game of the series.
Yeah.
Because if the Canucks don't bring their A game, they're not going to close the series out.
Yeah,
you know, like
Nashville's going to play with the utmost desperation.
Yeah, and if you're going to be playing the way you did last night,
yeah,
with Nashville playing to keep their to stay alive, then you can be into some trouble, right? So it's down to the Canucks. Like, they've helped themselves, and I think as much as I've seen some criticism about how the Canucks should be trailing 3-1 even in this series, I'm not quite sure. I think 2-2 would be fair. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably a 2-2 series right now, right? Like, I had the series being done in 5 for Vancouver. Then Demko gets hurt. You know, yeah. It could be done in 5, but it probably should be, you know, a 6 or 7 game, or maybe a 6 gamer if it's 2-2 at the very least, right? But if the Canucks play their best game, they can take care of this. And I think that's probably the optimistic viewpoint here, is that, hey, the Canucks are up 3-1, and we've yet to see their top form in this series.
A couple of things I want to get to before we get to the roundup. Brock Besser, right alongside JT Miller, has been the Canucks' best forward in this series. He scores the hat trick yesterday, 4 goals now in the series total. We sort of wondered about Brock, what we would see in the postseason from him. And, I mean, he's living in and around the blue paint, continuing to get himself into good spots,
yeah,
and continuing to finish. Like, he's continued to just be the same Brock Besser that we saw all season long, a guy that you can depend on to finish plays. And I tweeted it yesterday, Brock Besser playoff performer. I don't know how else you describe Brock Besser with the way that he's played in the first 4 games of these series.
He's been terrific. Yeah. And, you know, he had some struggles. That, you know, I thought the first game, there was a lot made about how much he struggled. And I mean, I thought he was all right. Game two, there was a lot made about how he struggled. It's like, well, he had that great A chance Saros saved, yeah, you know, in alone. And then since then, he's been getting some more chances. But the question was, in the playoffs, will the pace become a problem for him? Not the fastest player. The game gets faster. Is he going to have a harder time being able to be effective, so to speak?
It's the only line, Miller, Besser, Suter, that Nashville's really had trouble defending in this series.
It really is. I mean, they can't. JT's been an absolute horse. Yeah. And I think Pugh Suter, his finish has not been there, right? But, like, he's making a lot of great plays, man. Yeah. Like, defensively, he's been really good. Offensively, winning board battles, keeping the puck alive. All three guys are really contributing to their success right now. But the way Brock Besser is finding space, the way he's becoming this really savvy goal scorer, and I thought Brett on the postgame show really did a nice job of walking us through on each goal, everything that he was doing. And the thing he kept coming back to was, Besser's getting lost out there, and not in terms of, like, he's lost and doesn't know what he's good doing. He's losing the coverage. He's doing a good job of hiding in spots and then popping open in spots too. You saw it, how wide he was on the set play off the face off. He's so far off the wall that nobody's really paying attention to him.
Yeah.
The puck goes up to Soucy, and Cole does a fake slap shot, which covers, forces, I think it was Jankowski or no, Cole Smith to push forward, and the puck goes over to JT. And then because Besser's so far out of the frame, all the Preds players are looking at JT. Yes. Nobody's paying attention to Brock, who then creeps into space, and the puck comes across, and then he scores. And same thing on the 2 goals he scored with a 6-on-5. You kind of watch him get lost in the coverage along the boards and then wait for his time to jump in. And those are the things that the best goal scorers do. Yeah. You can have a great shot, but how far does that get you when teams play on you a lot? They don't give you a lot of free looks. You have to find your own looks. And the fact he's doing that right now in the postseason is massive. And it makes you wonder, like, is this goal scoring form we're seeing from him actually real and not just him having a career season?
He's finding the soft ice brilliantly. And the Canucks have needed it in this series because, yeah, they don't get a ton of shots. Fewer shots on goal, 71 of any team in NHL history through the first 4 games of an opening round series. I do think, you know, again, when it comes to the shots on goal, they are still very focused on quality versus quantity. They do pass up a lot of shooting opportunities trying to look for the better play.
Yeah, and honestly, like, against a better opponent, you may not get away with it.
Yeah.
To be so selective on your looks, right? Because you're probably going to give up more quality looks than you have so far. And, you know, Nashville works really hard, but they have to play like a 10 out of 10 on their effort level,
yes,
execution to generate 3 or 4 scoring chances all game. You know, like, it's not a lot, you know, and they have to play.
That's one of the big takeaways this 4 games. Like, for as much as, yes, Nashville has played well and they've had the territorial advantage, especially these last 2 games, like, they are working their bag off.
Yeah, man.
For 5 scoring chances in a game, like 5 high dangers, and the Canucks are matching that. Like, it's you know, that to me is a huge storyline that's kind of getting lost after yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And that's something that, you know, like, hopefully the Canucks finally play their game. You
yeah.
know, but they are almost to a fault looking for that quality scoring chance, but that's been their MO all year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're bypassing shots to create quality looks.
And they're getting through on a lot of these seam passes, as we saw yesterday. All right, Canuck Central roundup. Thatcher Demko named Vezina finalist alongside Connor Hellebuck and Sergei Bobrovsky. Demko, even with the injury, still ends up as a finalist, but I don't think we're really under too many illusions here that Connor Hellebuck is eventually going to win this award, Zach.
Yeah, but Connor Hellebuck is having his struggles in the postseason.
Yeah.
And it's tough because I saw the tweet that the Jets put out about, like, you know, his save percentage, his goals against average, and his wins and shutouts and everything. And the replies were like, his current save percentage, his current goals against average, and brink of elimination. And so it's like, you know, he's probably going to win it,
yeah,
but it's going to be one of those where he wins it and then people are going to point to, well, you see what happened in the postseason.
And it's going back a couple of years now that Hellebuck has been a not so great playoff performer for the Winnipeg Jets. Rick Tocchet, again, calling Demko their rock. And as far as the injury is concerned, no real update, but the continued reporting continues to be that there's a chance he could show up sometime in round 2 for the Canucks. The Canucks did have a team day off tomorrow, or today. Game 5 is tomorrow, 7 p.m. start at Rogers Arena, and we look forward to seeing you down there. We'll be on the concourse once again from 5 o'clock onwards. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Coming up, Hal Gill is going to join us. We'll ask him about the series, his take on it all, how things unraveled for Nashville yesterday, and yet another guy that we get to ask about fighting Rick Tocchet during his playing days.
Somebody else who either knows Rick Tocchet really well and is buddies with him, or fought Rick Tocchet at some point.
Yeah, Rick Tocchet and ex-players, they fall into all these categories. Either they're buds somehow, or he fought them, and that's the biggest story you're going to get out of them. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. You're listening to Canuck Central.